but is Sunday. And it's precious that God's so clearly been speaking to us. The scripture's been rolled out across all of our meetings from when Kate first shared, "Be still and know that I am God," through to David last Sunday when he was majoring on the importance of that passage. "Be still, comma, and know that I am God." Now, in sharing what I believe the Lord has given me to share today, Lou said, "It doesn't matter how long the word is, because no one's had to travel too far. No one's had problems in parking. But we've come together as church today, as people up and down the country come together as church. Buildings have become insignificant. It's people coming who love the Lord Jesus today to magnify his name." You know, in preparing this word this morning, David Booth sent a video clip through on Wednesday to the house group, and many may have seen it, but I just wanted to play that to start with this morning as an introduction to what I've got to say, if that's okay, if you can do that for me.
Hey! Sometimes life can be unfair. Sometimes you get thrown into situations you don't want to be in. But you know, the Bible says there's no temptation that's going to come your way, that God will not make a way of escape. The problem is not me being in the water. I will only drown when the water gets in me. We are in the world, but not of the world. The Titanic didn't sink because it was in the ocean. It sank because the ocean got in the Titanic. And I've come to tell you today, with all the problems going around in the world, all the violence, the crime, the viruses, the bugs, whatever it might be, let's not allow the world, see this water as the world, to get inside of me. The Bible says, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. And I want to encourage you today, be so full of the joy of the Lord and the peace of the Lord and the love of God, that whatever goes around, even if you get thrown in to something that you didn't ask for, remember that what's inside of you is going to make you an overcomer. Be filled with the Spirit. I've got to go now because many are called, but I am frozen. Cheers.
Thank you for that, David. It's what within us, what's within us that matters, not only to us, but to all those we come into contact with. My text this morning comes from Colossians 3. It says, "Since we've put off the old man with his deeds and have put on a new man who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him, where there is neither Jew nor Greek, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, Welsh or Scottish or Irish, or them that come from Dorset like me, but Christ is all in all." That refers to the omnipresent and the all-pervasing nature of God, that Christ is all in all. My text this morning is, Christ is all in all and in all. I put one of David's Oxford commas in, I hope, to say that Christ is all in all, comma, and in all. Now, I was reading something, a sermon that was written by David Rumley, who's a Pentecostal pastor in Illinois in the States. He was preaching on a series of living an authentic life. And he was talking about being poured out. He said, when we come together, do we come empty-handed and then go away disappointed? Or do we come to church with our hands full of gifts for others? Do we train ourselves and fill ourselves in life so we're ready to be poured out? Or are we always looking to be poured into? You know, the pouring comes from what is in the vessel, not its outward shape or size. And he uses an analogy of a teapot. He said, as teapots, we all look different, but have the same purpose, to allow what's inside to be poured out. And the two things that struck me from his word, you know, are we afraid to be poured out, as what's inside might not match up to what we perceive as poured out by others? And the title of his series, An Authentic Life, you know, authentic, I looked it up. It says, of undisputed origin, and not a copy, genuine, made in a way that faithfully resembles an original, that is accurate and reliable. The authentic life. Do we live an authentic life? Now, Romans 8, 9 says, you, however, are not in the realm of the flesh, but are in the realm of the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God lives in you. And I want to put that some word in to that point, Selah. Pause and calmly think about that. Do we live in the realm of the flesh, or is the Spirit of God living in us? And if anyone doesn't have the Spirit of Christ, they do not belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you, then even through your, though your body is subject to death because of sin, the Spirit gives life because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because his Spirit lives in you. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in us, the hope of glory. We have this treasure in earthen vessels. So today's question is, what have we got to pour out to bless and encourage our brethren, or to give an answer to the hope that is within us? You know, it's all about what really is in us that reveals whether whether the authentic Christian life in word and deed, the essence of our life and living, is true. Being a Christian is not a spectator sport. You know, John 14 says, if you love me, you will obey what I command. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another comforter to be with you forever. The Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him or knows him. But nonetheless, however, you know him. For he lives in you, and will we be within you. Christ in us, the hope of glory. Now, Ephesians 1, starting at verse 1, I'll just pray say it. It says, in Christ, we have obtained an inheritance, because after hearing the word of truth, the gospel of our salvation, in whom also, having believed and trusted, we were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. It was the guarantee of our inheritance, that we may know what is the hope of his calling. What are the riches of the glory of the inheritance in the saints? What is exceeding greatness of his power towards us who believe? According to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. The fullness of him who fills all in all. Now, how is Christ in us? And to what extent is Christ in us? And how is that evident? Now, Kate said at the beginning, you know, is it about what people see in us and what we do on our daily work, our daily lives? You know, when people see Christ, it makes a difference. When the fragrance of Jesus fills us, wherever we are, it makes a difference. It changes the atmosphere because the power of Almighty God is in us. For God has allowed us to come to salvation. He's allowed us to be anointed with the Holy Spirit and with power. Acts 16, and I'm going to pray say this as well. It says, starting from verse 16, one day when Paul and Silas were going down to the place of prayer, they met a slave girl who had a spirit that enabled her to tell the future. She earned a lot of money for her masters by telling fortunes. She followed them, shouting, "These men are servants of the Most High God, and they have come to tell you how to be saved." This went on day after day until Paul got so exasperated that he turned and said to the demon within her, "I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her." And instantly it left her. Her master's hopes for wealth were shattered. So they grabbed Paul and Silas and dragged them before the authorities, and the city officials ordered them to be stripped and beaten with wooden rods. They were severely beaten, and then they were thrown in prison, and the jailer was ordered to make sure they didn't escape. So the jailer put them into the inner part of the dungeon and clamped their feet in stocks. Around midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening. This was the impact of pouring out what was within them. Suddenly, there was a massive earthquake, and the prison was shaken to its foundations. All the doors immediately flew open, and the chains of every prisoner fell off. The jailer woke up to see the prison doors wide open. He assumed that the prisoners had escaped, so he drew his sword to kill himself. But Paul shouted out to him, "Stop! Don't kill yourself. We're all here." The jailer called for lights and ran into the dungeon and fell down trembling before Paul and Silas. Then he brought them out and asked them, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" They replied, "Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved, along with everyone in your household." And they shared the word of the Lord with him and with all who lived in the household. Even at that hour of the night, the jailer cared for them and washed their wounds. Then he and everybody in his household were immediately baptized. He brought them out into his house and set a meal before him. He and his entire household rejoiced because they all believed in God. The result of what was being poured out from the hearts of Paul and Silas impacted all who listened. It impacted in a dynamic way, which led to the salvation of the person who put them in prison. You know, if God hadn't done such a work in them and filled them with himself, they would simply have been another prisoner with no hope, bound hand and foot in darkness. But Paul and Silas poured out what was from in their hearts to God, and people listened. And it says in Colossians 1:27, "To them, his saints, his believing people, God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of his mystery, Christ in you, the hope of glory." Now, how is Christ in us? And to what extent is Christ in us? And how is that evident? How is that evident on a daily basis? Yeah. Do we train ourselves to seek to be filled with the Holy Spirit so that we're ready to be poured out? David said, "Blessed be the Lord, my rock, who teaches my fingers to war and my hands to fight." Do we train ourselves for the battle that we're in and the battles that lie ahead? Do we train ourselves to seek the Lord on a daily basis, to hear his voice, to be filled with his Holy Spirit and with power? "I know who goes before me. I know who stands behind. The God of angel armies is always by my side." Do we train ourselves to expect that? Do we train ourselves to walk in that? Colossians 3, verse 12 said, "Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves." Clothe yourselves with compassion, with kindness, with humility, with gentleness and patience. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievance you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since, as members of one body, you were called to peace. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, and as you sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with gratitude in your heart to God. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. What fills us? What have we got that can be poured out? Whether in word or in deed, to do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus? In these strange times in which we find ourselves, is God becoming more real to us? Is he becoming more of our all in all? Are we hearing his voice? You know? I believe as this lockdown starts to ease, clearly it's easing for some people today, and we can sit socially distanced in a friend's garden and follow that English tradition of having tea. We have a cup of tea, but let's think which tea is our favourite. Is it rhubarb? Is it green? Is it Yorkshire? Is it chamomile? And let us think also what we've got, and is it enough to share? What God's placed in our lives, is it enough to share? It just reminded me, when the Lord baptized me in the Spirit, I was so overwhelmed, I couldn't contain it. His Spirit overflowed me. I was like a man possessed. And I think, oh Lord, let it be again. Let the joy of the Lord, the exuberance of his Holy Spirit overwhelm me again, that I may have something of value to pour out, to encourage my brothers and sisters, to bless my brothers and sisters. Have I got a word of knowledge? Have I got a word of prophecy? Have I got a word of just empathy, which understands? And all the days of frustration, of anger, of not being fair, they turn to compassion and mercy and grace. That the love of Jesus can overwhelm us and we can be poured out to the blessing of others. You know, because the challenge really is, if God is not all in all, then he's nothing at all. Hear me. If God is not all in all, he's nothing at all. And we live a sham. But if we want to live the authentic Christian life, which is vessels of honour unto our God, filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, men and women who walk into a room and make a difference because Jesus is there, then we just need to come and we need to seek him and we need to search for him. You know, you can say, well, it's different for some of us because you haven't got anything to do all day. You can just sit around, whereas I've got to go to work. But hang on a minute. It's different for all of us. Even going to work is different. It's not the same. It's never been like this before. But we've got ears to hear. We've got a heart to respond, to hear, to seek, to long to know on a daily basis, that infilling of the Spirit. So we've got something to pour out. It's nothing about what we look like. It's nothing about who we are. It's nothing about where we live. It's about what's within. And can that be poured out to the blessing of others, to encourage, to strengthen, to love, to show that Jesus is a name above all names. What a powerful name. What a powerful name that plucked us from the power of darkness and thrust us in to the power of light. The name that dispels the darkness. Can we just share that with one another? I want us to come to consider that now as we just come to breaking bread. When we consider being poured out, our thoughts turn to the Lord Jesus as the epitome of a life poured out for many. We've sung all the songs about Calvary this morning. You know, greater love is no man than that he poured out his life for his friends. Ah, brothers and sisters, we've got a Saviour who 2,000 years ago poured out his life for us on the cross at Calvary in a demonstration of his love for us. That through the sacrifice of Christ, we might have life. You know, he had a plan. We're 2,000 years ago part of that plan. He's got a destiny for us, that we should show forth the love of Jesus, unreserved, willing, and out of love. What Jesus poured out for the propitiation of our sins, no one else could ever do. And we've known that Jesus. We come to remember him this morning. You know, I just want to, David, just to play a response of our hearts, all to Jesus I surrender, all to him I freely give. Heavenly Father, as we come and bow humbly before you, in the knowledge that you must increase and I must decrease, cleanse my heart afresh, I pray, Lord Jesus. Matthew's Gospel says, while they